Why don't we just take a moment to turn around and greet one another and say good morning to each other. And well, it's good to be here this morning. We're going to continue our series looking at local, regional, beyond. It's the time of the year where we consider something of the vision of the church, what God's calling us to, what God is doing amongst us. If you were here on Tuesday evening at the church gathering, you'll know that there was loads and loads of exciting things that were being discussed and presented. One of those is the prospect that we have 27 new folks that came into membership on that evening, and which is a good sign that people actually want to join the church. I always find that reassuring. We heard things about intern programs. We're hoping to work with the Baptist College at developing a program for interns, and particularly those interns that are working with the life of the church here in various areas, in the Haven, in Level 1, with our students. And very exciting prospects about developing this in conjunction with the Baptist College, because many of you will know that the International Christian College is in the process of closing. And this is leaving a big gap in the whole area, particularly of the training and development of children's workers and youth pastors. And really, it's exciting to explore the Baptist College, the possibility of becoming, what I'm calling it is like a teaching church, you know, like you have teaching hospitals where people come and they learn their skills. Well, something like that in SBC, where people are being raised up and we're developing and feeding into the next generation of leaders. So that's really exciting in terms of all of the things that we were hearing and going on. There's also, you'll also know that we have an application going into the Baptist Union, and it's being considered, I believe, this week in relation to the funding of a part-time worker over in Callander. And so that's going ahead as well, hopefully, this week, so you can remember that in your prayers as we consider that. So lots and lots of exciting things happening in the life of the church. We've also continued to see God working not only locally, but regionally. You've got your regionals this afternoon, and I hope many of you are going there. If you don't know what this is, we're trying to gather together all the people that live in particular areas together, just to meet together, to share fellowship, to pray together, to share communion together, and to seek God for how we should be reaching out into the places where we live and our neighborhoods, and really trying to develop that missional focus. And so those are all on this afternoon, and there'll be details up at the back. If you live in or around Stirling, you will be in one of our regions, and I'd encourage you to get along. They're a good way to get to know and engage with people. And also, we continue globally with our whole emphasis looking at what God's doing in the world. And we were praying there for Cho, and we have a team going out to Cambodia in August just to see the work that's going on in relation to the prevention of people trafficking and just stopping that, and the exciting aspect of seeing God work. One of our members, Tony Mitchell, in fact, on the way to church, came up to me and said, last week I was in a church in Rwanda and in a place called Ruhinga. Is that right, Tony? And close enough, in eastern Rwanda. And he was saying they want to make sure that they bring their greetings to this fellowship this Sunday, because I brought your greetings last Sunday to them. And just that sense of global connect. Now, the foundation for all of this that God is doing, all the things that are happening locally, regionally, and globally, has to be the work of God. I began talking about this a little bit last week, about the whole idea of we can generate visions, we can make plans, we can develop strategies, but ultimately it is God who is the key and his work to whatever God does through the life of us as individuals and the life of us as a church. And we can't lose sight of that. And this vision series has been slightly different for me because when I've gone to prepare it, rather than telling you all the great things that are happening and what God's, I've felt the need to just come back and reiterate the requirement of our complete dependence on God in relation to everything that happens in our life and in relation to what God is doing in the life of the church. A call to actually engage with Him. And the way that we engage with God is through prayer. And I want to consider a little bit this morning just that whole area of prayer and some of Jesus' teaching here in Luke in relation to prayer. On Friday, I was away down south, and I was at a board meeting, not a very interesting thing to be at. And at the end of the board meeting, I was with some other church leaders from various parts of the country. And at the end of the board meeting, one of the leaders had found out that someone else at the meeting had a really painful neck. And they apparently had some arthritis in their neck. And they were really concerned that they should pray for them at the end of the meeting. So suddenly our board meeting turned from this business type thing to a prayer meeting for somebody to be prayed for. And I just realized how timid I am in relation to these things, because she got up and we all laid hands on the individual. I'm quite comfortable with that. And then she prayed. And then after she prayed, she said, "Are you feeling better?" He goes, "A little bit." And at that point, you see, I would have stopped and said, "Well, that's good. Well, have a nice journey," and things like that. But it was a lady. For her, this was not good enough. A little bit was not good enough. So she said, "Okay, let's pray again." And she continued to pray again. And she said, "Are you feeling better? Is the pain going?" And he says, "Yeah, it's moving a little more." She says, "Come on, let's pray again." And then we prayed. And she said to him, is the pain gone?" And he went, "Yeah, it's completely gone." And she says, "Great." And then we turned to one of the office secretaries, who also had an issue with pain in her back. And she said, "Let's pray for her." And she prayed for her. And she said, "Is there any difference?" And she said, "No, there's none at all." At that point, I definitely would have stopped, okay? And she says, "Let's pray again." And the secretary says, "I feel a little bit of difference, but it's not that great." And she said, "Okay, let's pray again." And she prayed again. She said, "Yeah, I'm starting to feel a difference, but it's still there." And she said, "Okay, well, every time I come to this office, we're going to pray until you are free from pain." Now, while I was sitting there, I was kind of thinking about the way that I would have done this. And I sort of thought, you know, maybe I'm too Baptist or something, but I definitely wouldn't have done it like that. I would have said a nice, polite prayer and hoped something would happen and then probably leave as quickly as possible. And I realized that a couple of things. One, it reflects probably a lack of faith on my part. But two, it also reflects my inability to have actually comprehended what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 11. Because what Jesus is saying here is he's saying the key to the way that we pray is its persistence. The persistence that is born out of the fact that we believe that God wants to do something. You see, if God isn't doing something, and something isn't changing in the way that we want to see it change and the way that we anticipate it, the issue that Jesus is saying is actually your persistence in prayer. Jesus here starts by presenting the Lord's Prayer. And he shows us some of the key focuses within prayer. Our prayer is focused to our Father. And it addresses our Father. It talks about the position of God and His glory, and that has to be the predominant focus of our prayer. So much of our prayer is focused around ourselves. But it's a concern with God and His name, that God should be honored and acknowledged. And then it shows how the the prayer embraces and how God embraces every aspect of our life. It embraces present need, it addresses past sin, and it looks towards future trials. And then Jesus, once he's expressed this and given this framework, he goes on to talk about how prayer works. And he says it's a wee bit like this. He says, if you have a friend who comes around and visits you late at night, usually in the Near East, what would happen is you would go on journeys and you would have long walks. And occasionally on those long walks, you would try and do a bit more. So, an average walk would maybe take you from Stirling to Auchterarder. But you decided that you were going to push it a little bit and you were going to go from Stirling to Dunning. And that just took you a bit further into the night. But of course, when you arrived in the village, you had to find somewhere to stay. And the laws of hospitality were fairly strict. One which was, if somebody knocked on your door to stay with you at night, you had to give them a bed. It was a sort of couch surfing, first century style. But secondly, if somebody came to visit, it's like my wife, she comes from the Isle of Lewis, and whenever we go anywhere, it's almost pathological. We have to take something. And I'm going, no, we don't have to take anything, it's fine. No, we have to take something. Well, it was the same in the Near East. Whenever somebody came to stay, you had to give them something. You couldn't not give them something. And so here's this guy, he's had this person's knocked on his door, asked to stay late at night, and he has to give him something. But bread was always baked daily, and it was always baked in the morning. So by night and late at night, there was no more food in the house. You were going to have to bake it the next day. And so suddenly, here this individual has this desperate situation. And so they go next door to one of their friend's house, and they start to bang on the door. Now, it's late. In the Near East, again, during the day, you always had your door open. But when you shut the door, it was kind of a sign. It was like the signs that you hang on hotel doors. Do not disturb. That's what that meant. The shut door was don't disturb. Don't disrupt me. I'm now bedded down for the night. You see the respondent, they say, I'm lying here with my family and my children in the Near East. Again, you didn't have separate bedrooms. Everybody had a big bedroom, single bedroom with a fire in the middle, and everybody basically grabbed their mats and slept around that fire. And so they were all there, they were comfy for the night. So if this guy is going to get up, he's not only going to wake himself up, he's going to wake the whole family up, and he's going to wake his kids up. Now, any of you parents, you know what it's like if you've got babies? You know, maybe the guy spent 2 hours getting his baby to be quiet and get down and sleep. And here's this guy banging on the door, wanting him to get up, probably going to disrupt the baby, going to cause chaos to the house, and it's just going to be a nightmare because he can't fulfill the obligations of hospitality. And so Jesus says, is he likely to do it for him? No, he's not. And then he says, but the problem is his friend just doesn't go away. And he stands there and he keeps banging. And Jesus says, because of the man's persistence, not even because they're friends, but just because of his persistence, he says he will get up and he'll actually go and give him some bread. And he said, this is similar to prayer. Now, it's important to understand this is a parable. What he is not saying is that God is reluctant to give us things, and that we have to bother God incessantly in order to get anything from God. Jesus isn't saying that about the nature of God. In fact, you'll see in a moment that he actually talks about the nature of God and says, God is desperate to do stuff for you. But what he is saying is that God will only do that stuff for you if you are persistent in the way that you pray. That's what he's saying. Jesus, at the end of the story, he says, you know, God is like a father. And he said earthly fathers know that if their children come to them and they ask for a fish, they don't give them a snake. You know, in the morning, the dad gets up and he says, what do you want for breakfast, son? And he says, can I have a fish? And the fella goes off and he finds a serpent, a poisonous snake, and he throws it on his plate and goes, aha! It's like, no dad does that, or a really silly one. It's a bit perverse, thought it was a joke. Or he says, you know, if a kid turns around and he says, I want an egg. And the dad again, as a joke or something, gives him a scorpion. He says, no, of course not. You know, if your child asks you for something, you, even though you are evil, you still give them good things. And he said, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give you good things? See, for a lot of us, I think our first problem is that we actually don't believe God wants to do good stuff for us. I think at the heart of it, we don't believe God wants to do good stuff for us. I look back at that healing incident of that woman who was praying for the various board members. And I guess maybe I was thinking we're doing board stuff and we this prayer for healing sort of saying, not sure I'm entirely comfortable mixing the two together. But that ultimately wasn't the issue. The issue was really, is God that bothered about this guy's back? Is God that bothered that this guy's in pain and he wants to put it right? Is God that bothered? Is God really that interested? And is it not a bit of an imposition to actually impose on God concern about this? And if we do pray, let's just tick it off the list, and then I'm sure God can do whatever he wants. That wasn't her attitude. Her attitude was, God doesn't want you to be in pain. God doesn't want this situation. Because God is a good God. And this is not normative for this good God. You know, I think a lot of people sit back and we accept situations in our lives because we don't think God's that concerned about our situations. I remember having a discussion on holiday with another minister, a friend of mine, and his two sons, they're studying theology at St. Andrew's, and he's a minister down at Guildford. And we were in Israel together. And there was a point where we started to talk about, is it right to pray for parking spaces or not? It was a good theological discussion. Is God that bothered? But it was an interesting discussion in terms of how much does God show interest in our lives? Remember last week, we said that God remembers us. We're actually told that God numbers the hairs on our head, which for some of us is not that many. But God is interested in the remotest detail of our life and actually believing that God is that interested in us and we matter that much to him. For a lot of us, we accept an awful lot of rubbish because we don't think we matter to God. But more than that, we sometimes accept mediocrity. We accept mediocrity in our own lives. We accept mediocrity in the life of the church. You know, I think a lot of people go to church on Sunday mornings and they'll be there this morning and they'll sit there and they'll sing their songs and they'll listen to the sermons and they'll just accept this is what God has for us. And yes, we're dying off one by one and there are less people Sunday here following Sunday. And yes, the culture around us doesn't believe in God and it's becoming more godless and the damage of that and the brokenness of that is being expressed in all sorts of places. But hey, God doesn't really want to change this. And so we accept it. You know something? God cares about it. You know, I believe that God wants SBC to thrive. You know, I believe that what we've seen God do in the life of our church, what we're seeing God do in things like Level 1, The Haven, Family Life, that this is only the tip of the iceberg of what God wants for us. You know, I believe that God wants to see us not only exercising presence in our community, but he wants to see us bringing transformation to our community. I believe that's what God wants to see. And I believe that God is capable of bringing that to our society. You know, sometimes we think that everything has just gone too far, that God can't turn it around. We need to know that our God does turn it around, and he wants to turn it around. So what's the problem?
Well, I believe that the problem is that because we don't believe our God really cares about us, because we don't believe that our God wants to turn things around,
maybe we don't even believe that God is capable of turning it around. Maybe when we pray for healing and that sort of thing, maybe we don't really think God does that sort of thing nowadays.
We just don't see God work in the way that he wants to work. And Jesus is saying here, guys, if you want to really see God work, if you want to see God transforming your life, if you want to see God transforming the life of the church, if you want to see God transforming the life of your community and nation, then you need to understand that God requires a persistence in prayer from you. And that without that persistence in prayer, you are not going to see the work of God in the way that God wants to work amongst you. And so he uses this phrase. He says, it is because of the shameless persistence of this individual. Shameless persistence. I like that. I like that phrase. The idea of shameless persistence reminds me of the way that that woman prayed for that individual to be healed. It was almost embarrassing, the persistence. It was shameless persistence. But a shameless persistence that said, we will not let God go until you do something, until you work, until we see transformation. And Jesus says, ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. The way this is expressed in the Greek is these are continuous. So the idea is ask or keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. Why was Jesus so certain that these things would happen? Because he was certain about the nature of his God, his Father. And he knew that God, his Father, wanted to work. And so he knew that if we asked and kept on asking, if we sought and kept seeking, and if we knocked, we would actually see the breakthrough. And we would see God giving us what we wanted. You know, for many of us, we just are not persistent enough. Many of us, maybe we'll say a prayer, or even if we get around to that, and we think that ticks the box, but actually God wants to see so much more from us in terms of crying out to him. I believe that ultimately we can do so much, and I would be lying if I didn't say that, you know, you can do certain things without God's help. We can do certain things without God's help. And we can achieve a certain degree of success without God's help. But if we really want to see God work in the way that God wants to work, we need to become a people who get desperate in our prayers and persistent in our prayers to such a degree that we say, God, we're not letting you go. We're not letting you go until we see those 50 or 60 young people coming on Thursday nights, not only coming along and talking about drugs or their lives and things like that, but until we see them committed to you, following you, and seeing their lives wholly restored through the work of your Spirit. We're not letting go until we see that. We're not letting go until we see the people in the top of the town knowing that God loves them and seeing a transformation in relation to their social situation. We're not letting go until we see families and the trend of brokenness in families reversed, where we start to see people brought together and reconciled and children being brought up in stable, loving homes. We're not letting go until we see this and the trend of our society changed. We're not letting go until we see the communities in which we live acknowledging and recognizing that God is at work and that Jesus is alive. We're not letting go until people hear that message. And we begin to see people responding to what you want. You know something? I think this is possible. I think it's possible not because I have great confidence in SBC. Truth is, I probably don't have that great confidence in SBC. That's because I live with me and some of the other leaders. But I do have a confidence in our God and what God is capable of. I do have a confidence in that the goodness of our God. And I do have a confidence that if we get serious and we cry out to this God, we will see him work in unimaginable ways. Jesus said, and it's interesting, it's different from Matthew, but Jesus says, how much more the Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Jesus sees the ultimate cry to be an invitation to the Spirit of God. I don't know if Jesus stood, well, he probably did pray with his hands up, but he probably wanted to say, you know, when we pray, we raise our hands and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come by your Spirit and fill us. And through that empowering presence, bring your transforming Spirit to our world, to our families, to our nation. That's our calling. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these challenging words. And Lord, I just pray for us this morning. Lord, I pray for us in our unbelief. I pray for those of us who find it hard to believe that you are interested in us. Lord, I just ask this morning that you would overwhelm us with a sense of our significance, of the depth of your love towards us. Help us understand just how much you care for every dimension and aspect of our lives. Lord, I pray for those of us who find it hard to believe that you can work and that you can transform situations. Lord, I pray that you would just remove that unbelief from us and replace it with a faith in your power and your work. Lord, I pray that you would make us a people of faith who actually believe that things can be transformed through your presence and through your power and through the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to see more of this. So, Lord, I pray that for the rest of us who know that you do care about us and we believe in your power, Lord, I pray that we would just become persistent in the way that we pray, that we might see you work in our world and bring your healing and love to our communities. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.